Well, I trust you've had a good day. Trust it's been a blessing to you. Just how thankful we ought to be for God's faithfulness to us, how he provides for us. We have so much in this country. I think of the health. We have some that are going through some difficult times. We've got some that I look over here and I see Jean got a real good test this week. Praise the Lord for that. Greg started some chemo for his lymphoma, and that's going okay. It's not really bothering him too much, is it? Pardon?
Just fatigue.
Well, we all struggle with that. And okay, and with Ernestine, fatigue. And we've got a young man sitting here in the back corner that 10th or 12th of January, I think you have a knee replacement surgery scheduled. And Steve, I look back here and he's been there, done that. And yet we're able to be here this evening. And I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing that we're able to gather in the house of the Lord. We do have a lot to be thankful for at this Thanksgiving season, don't we? Let's look to the Lord now, shall we? Father, we're thankful that we can come tonight. We're thankful for the songs. We're thankful for testimonies. We're thankful for evidences of your reality. And I pray that you would speak to our hearts as we look to your word tonight, as we continue this ongoing series with regards to our hearts. Pray that you would use me as your servant for your glory. We thank you now, in your name I pray. Amen. Okay, Andrew, what would you like to write down there? The title, right? Okay. I can't hear you.
I thought you asked me what the title is.
Oh, okay. How about I tell you? Either that or you could just tell me what title would you like it to have this evening. Okay, this one is called Don't Be Hard-Hearted. Don't Be Hard-Hearted. Years ago, it was quite common to hear that someone was suffering from hardening of the arteries. You ever hear that term before? Sure we have. Today, in more recent years, they've given it a more socially acceptable term. Quite often now, those who years ago, they just said, well, they were suffering from hardening of the arteries. In more recent years, they call it dementia or Alzheimer's disease, the difficulties that individuals are having. But the condition still exists. They've just changed the name to it. In the Bible, we read of hearts, not arteries, but hearts that are hard or hardened. If you would try to think of perhaps a Bible character that we often associate with a hard heart, who might come to your mind?
Pharaoh.
He's probably the most famous as we think of Scripture. 19 times reference is made in the book of Exodus with regards to his heart being hardened. But I can hear somebody saying, but wait, Didn't God say that he would harden Pharaoh's heart? How fair was that? After all, we blame Pharaoh for a hard heart, but didn't the Bible say that God hardened his heart? Did that guy get a fair shake or didn't he? I appreciate many of the footnotes that are in the Liberty or the Nelson Study Bible. And with that regard, I want to read one in conjunction with Exodus chapter 4 with regard to Pharaoh's heart. God's statement, "But I will harden his heart that he shall not let the people go," has produced much discussion because it gives the appearance of the kind of sovereign action that prevents the operation of human choice. The book of Exodus attributes the hardening process 10 times to God. And 9 times to Pharaoh. The first two references in chapter 4:21 and chapter 7, verse 3, state that God will harden the Pharaoh's heart without specifying when that will be. The next 10 references, the only exception in chapter 9, verse 12, indicate, guess what? That Pharaoh hardened his heart in the multitude of references that follow. He refused to acknowledge the power of Jehovah, the God of Israel. And at times, he didn't even listen to the statements of the magicians themselves. There is a sense in which Pharaoh blinded himself, and in so doing, incurred the wrath and judgment of God. Pharaoh viewed himself as a god, little g, and expressed disdain for Jehovah or Yahweh from the very beginning, when in chapter 5, verse 2 of the book of Exodus, he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not Yahweh or Jehovah." One must remember that God deserves the right to judge sin and the sinner whenever he desires. The sinner is subject to the wrath of God at any point in his life. And God has the right to judge sin in any way he so desires the first time one commits sin. It is really the mercy of God that allows the sinner to continue to live. Pharaoh sinned knowingly, willfully, and continually. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. We find that the footnote continues here to go on. God gave Pharaoh numerous opportunities to free the people of Israel. But God knew in advance that Pharaoh would choose to do otherwise. We find that the Pharaoh would Therefore, be compelled to bear full responsibility for that willful and sinful choice. This hardening of men's hearts is one way God judges men who resist His will. It is one way God judges men who resist His will. Thus He also accomplished His purposes for the people of Israel. And we find in Joshua 11:20, it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that they should come against Israel in battle, that He might destroy them utterly. Well, we do remember Pharaoh for one who hardened his heart. And I trust this footnote helped clarify it. It does say that God hardened his heart, but Pharaoh had ample opportunities. And it's spoken almost 50-50. 10 times God hardened his heart, 9 times Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And he just continued to resist God's will. Thus, we find that this hardening is even more fully explained in, a book which is entitled Wilson's Word Studies. And on this particular word of hard and hardening with regard to Pharaoh, and the word which is used there, it means to brace up or tighten. And this is the word which is used of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. And it implies him strengthening himself against all fear and alarm, stoutly resisting the warnings and motives that were urged upon him, and the terrors of God's judgment. We find in conjunction with that, it is used of God hardening his heart when he left Pharaoh to his own obstinacy and rebellion and withdrew that favor or benevolence by which he alone might have been brought to change his mind. So, a lot to think of as we think about this hardness of heart. That's the thought that I want us to look at this evening. And what I want us to consider this evening, I want us to consider, as we compare Scripture with Scripture, some problems connected to or with a hard heart. Problems connected with a hard heart. What problem might we suggest in the simplest answer to that? The problem is that it is suggestive of resisting or rebelling against God. It is suggestive of resisting or rebelling against God. But let's look at some specific scriptures and take it a bit further and see some things actually connected with that in some references. Reference number one would be Mark 3, 1 through 6. Let's turn to the New Testament here. Mark 3, 1 through 6. Tells us here, he entered into the synagogue, our Lord, And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth, stand up. And he saith unto them, those who were watching him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? But like cowards typically are, what did they do? They held their peace. Nobody had enough courage to answer. But they were sure going to be accusing. They were watching. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. As we look in this reference, remember, what are we trying to find here? We're trying to determine what problems are connected with a hard heart. And we see here, in Mark's account, this condition causes grief and anger for the Lord. In verse 5, we find here that he looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. This word hardness here comes from the word to petrify. If something is petrified, what is that? Quite flexible? No. And here it means to make hard or to be calloused. And when the Lord finds, that was the condition of the religious leaders that were constantly picking at and criticizing our Lord when he was here. They were so judgmental of him, and they were always looking for something to accuse him of. And in Mark's account, we see that the Lord knew he was being watched as he went into the synagogue, and he knew what was on their mind. And so he had that man stand up, and he looked at them and he said, is it right to save life or take life on the Sabbath? Is it lawful for a person to do good on a Sabbath day? Nobody would answer, and it says, he looked round about on them with anger and grief because of the hardness of their heart. Yes, our message title is Don't Be Hard-Hearted. So what's it matter? Well, do you want to cause our Lord grief or anger? That condition is one that scripturally shows us how it affects our Lord. We go a couple of chapters back. Our second example would be in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, and we start in at verse 45. Mark 6, 45. It tells us this. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. They were struggling because of the wind, which was contrary against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, which is the darkest hours of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and looked like he would have passed right on by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a spirit. And what would you do if you saw a ghost, a spirit, in the darkest hours of the night out there? Well, no. These men, I know they were seasoned fishermen, but can't you relate how that respond, how what that did to them? These men, humanly and naturally, were terrified. Don't say, I wouldn't have been. I would have. And it tells us when they saw him, they cried out. For they all saw him, and they were troubled. You just don't see something walking on the water in the midst of the night, do you? Especially if the waves are roaring. In all honesty, I've never seen anybody walk on smooth water, have you? Never mind the waves. Immediately he talked with them, and he saith unto them, hey guys, be of good cheer. It's me. Don't be afraid. And he went up into them, into the ship. And when the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered or marveled, for they considered not or understood not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. In Mark chapter 6, we see from here. So, what problems are there with having a hard heart? Verse 52 says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. That had occurred a few verses before they got in the boat and the Lord sent them across. The Lord had just performed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with five loaves and two small fish. Then he said, get in the boat and go across. And now it says they were amazed. They amazed in themselves. They wondered. They didn't understand. They didn't know what was going on. And Mark says it gives evidence of a problem connected with a hard heart. Because the word here, considered not, means to put together or to understand. They did not put together or understand the miracle of the five loaves and the two fish, connecting it with, you say, I don't get the point. The point is they should have understood if the Lord could perform a miracle of feeding over 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish, should we be so amazed that that same Lord can also walk upon the water? But their hearts were hard, and they weren't understanding what they had seen as he had performed that miracle with the 5,000 earlier that day. In just a second here. In Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. Mark chapter 8, 14 through 21. We see it again. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, it's because we forgot to bring bread that he's talking about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why are you reasoning? Because you have no bread? Don't you understand? Perceive you not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember? When I broke the 5,000, when I broke the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did we take up? One of them said, well, we had 12 baskets left over. And he said, and when we had seven loaves among 4,000, how many baskets of fragments did we have? And they said, seven. And he said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? What was it that they were not understanding? You see, they were only thinking on the literal level when the Lord said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of Herod. Leaven is connected with what? Huh? Bread, right? Yeast, that's what leaven is. And you put yeast in it so that it will rise and you can... And the Lord had told his disciples when they got on their way here, he was telling them, you need to beware of the leaven. Say, by the way, when you are going to make homemade bread, the kind that takes yeast in it, do you put 50-50, 50% in that bowl yeast and 50% flour? What would you have if you tried something like that? Maybe something like we used to see on I Love Lucy when they made that big loaf of bread that went in that oven. It would go nuts. It would go berserk. A baker knows that, and the recipe only calls for what? Just a small amount. I've always enjoyed watching my wife as she made bread, and to see such a small amount of leaven, yeast, in comparison to when all the ingredients are there, my word, you think, what good is that little bit going to do? And she mixes it all up and kneads it, and then she sets it on a bowl, maybe puts a dish towel over the top of it and puts it over on the counter and then watches and waits. And boy, you go an hour or so later, especially if it's a warm day, and what's happened? The leaven has... And the Lord, when he was talking to his disciples, and he said, beware of the leaven, that which has the capacity of what? Duplicating and multiplying and spreading, right? That's what yeast does. He wasn't talking, and he said, don't you understand? Are your hearts so hard in verse 17 that you lack understanding? Don't you know if I needed more bread than this one loaf you brought, I could have provided for us? What was he talking about, the leaven of the Pharisees or of Herod? It was their teaching, their doctrine, what they stood for. And he said, be careful, men. Don't you take just a little bit of what the Pharisees are trying to teach and mislead. As we think of this, so we see here, hardness of heart, we've seen it causes grief and anger in Mark 3, in the heart of our Lord. In Mark 6 and Mark 8, it hinders spiritual understanding. The Lord said, don't you understand? Don't you perceive? Have you your hearts yet hardened? Let's see here. We find that hard hearts seldom respond to the Lord. Hard hearts, thirdly, seldom respond to the Lord. Let me give you a reference. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 13. 2 Chronicles 36, 13. It tells us here, and we go back to verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God, and he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. What's this point we're looking at? Hard hearts seldom respond favorably to the Lord. And here, Zedekiah, instead of responding to the Lord, he hardened his heart against the Lord. Now, for you note takers, if you would like to just write down a reference, we're not going to look at it. But in contrast to Zedekiah, who hardened his heart, I would have you write down 2 Kings 22:19-20 with regards to Josiah. And his heart was tender. He humbled himself when the Lord spoke to him. And in verses 19 and 20 of 2 Kings 22, there is an example of responding to the Lord, because King Josiah, he had not hardened his heart, like it tells us in 2 Chronicles that Zedekiah did. Number four, Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 14. Now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. He went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked. That's the two on the road to Emmaus, and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the rest of the disciples. And what? Neither believed they them. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. What's this? He rebuked them for what? Their unbelief and what's that next three words? Hardness of heart, because they believed not those who had seen him after he was risen. So what is this fourth point? Hardness of heart is closely connected to unbelief. That's why it is so critical. Lastly, in John chapter 12, point five for you note takers, in John chapter 12, verses 37 through 43, John 12, 37 through 43, it says, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not, saying that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, He, God, hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes and understand, should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. It says here, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, even though that's what had happened, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. As we look at this, we think hardness, what's our fifth point? Hardness of heart hinders true faith. These verses that we quoted, verse 38, verse 40, these are quotes from the book of Isaiah. He hath blinded their eyes, he hath hardened their hearts. And the Lord said, though he had done, verse 37, many miracles before them, they didn't believe on him. And you say, well, wait a minute, it wasn't their fault. John was quoting Isaiah the prophet, and it said, God's hardened their hearts. Don't be so quick to defend them, because those who wanted to believe could believe. Nevertheless, verse 42, among the chief rulers also what? Many did believe on him, but they were a coward to let their faith be shown. What's God see in us? As believers, we should be concerned. What's the effect? What's the problem with hardness of heart? Well, it causes grief and anger to our Lord. We find that it hinders spiritual understanding on our part. We find that hard hearts seldom respond favorably to the Lord. Hard hearts is closely connected with just plain old unbelief, and hardness of heart hinders true faith in the Lord. May the Lord speak to our hearts. May we be concerned that our hearts not be hard in the eyes of the Lord. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for the time we've had this evening, and we're thankful for what we could see. Help us to relate to the truths that these verses have brought to our attention. Dismiss us with your blessing on us as we go our way. May this week may we walk in your ways. May we be doers of your works. And may our hearts be tender and responsive to you, not hardened in our own ways. We thank you now. In your name I pray. Amen.